Okay, I'm from DragonAgeGame.de, and I'm sitting here with Mike Laidlaw, the lead designer of Dragon Age 2, and I want to ask you some questions.
I think that's fair.
Yes. Okay, let's start. Right ahead, will we meet companions from Dragon Age 1
Absolutely.
In Dragon Age 2, and is it possible to even hire them?
I think there'll be quite a few appearances. There is at least one case of someone who was in the party who will make a jump into the party in Dragon Age 2, but I'm not saying who. I'm sorry.
Would it be the Mabari, maybe?
That would be a big maybe. I don't know about that Mabari.
Okay.
I mean, a Mabari, maybe not such a reach, but I mean, that dog holds a pretty special place in a lot of people's hearts.
Okay. Can we visit already known places like Lothering or Denerim in Dragon Age 2?
Actually, you're leaving Lothering when the game begins, but the majority of it is set in the Free Marches. Partly because we have a absolutely huge world map. You know, we have a number of other countries and other places to visit. So we decided to really put the focus on a new part of the world, just to really broaden the horizons for Dragon Age 2.
Okay, and how important is Hawk's family throughout the game? It starts with his family, and you encounter some bad...
certain things happen, yes. So the family is a major theme. What you'll find as you get into the game proper is that it's not even Hawk's immediate family, who, you know, his brother, his sister, and his mom, but also kind of the legacy of their family. Hawk's mother was actually a noble in Kirkwall, which is part of the reason why you go there. And what you learn over time is that, you know, your family's not in the best shape, that the legacy is, in a lot of ways, has been tarnished, and that it represents yet another vector for kind of Hawk's character to grow in terms of, you know, what position and what role you take on in the city.
Okay, and how much of Hawk's story is actually predetermined, or how much influence has the player to determine his fate in the world?
Quite a bit. There are certain things that you know are similarly, like, you know the Warden will always gather an army, you know, to face the Blight, because otherwise, well, all life gets wiped out, which is a bit of a bummer. Similarly, Hawk, you know, will be growing into the Champion. That is an event that occurs. But there are many, many permutations and many differences. And I think players coming through will find that not only the choices they make will make difference, but also when they do things or when they've chosen to tackle things will then play out later in the story. This is a big, exciting part for us, is being able to almost play through each part of the game's epilogue by seeing those reactions as they play out, and then proceeding again to continue to make more choices, to interact with more people, to have that impact on the world.
Okay, that sounds good. And let's come to the companions you encounter. I have quite a lot of questions about them.
Sure. Well, I mean, I think they're a really central part of Dragon Age.
I mean,
the banter, we put an immense amount of effort into each and every one of them, and I think if I'm most proud of any part of the story, it's the work the writers did to make the companions evolve and grow over that decade of history. They don't stay static. They're not just waiting for you to do stuff. You really feel like they have an organic life outside of your party. When they're not there, they're you know, at the bar drinking or hanging out with one another, and you'll see moments of that play out where you're like, ooh, that's neat.
That's good. And to come to the point, is there something in the game like the camp in Dragon Age 1? When you interact with your party directly?
There is. And I think, you know, certainly Awakenings, we experimented with kind of like, well, what if we put stuff more in the world and had follower interactions take place there? And that had some pluses. But what we've done is, I guess, a modification of somewhere between the camp and that. Awakenings, I felt, wasn't satisfying. The camp was great, but I think the quintessential problem with the camp is that it was always kind of creepy to have Morrigan standing in the background watching you when you were talking to almost everybody else. So instead, what we've done is, because we wanted to get that vibe that these followers had their own lives, is they all have their different kind of bases or haunts or locations that they spend time in when they're not near party. And by going there, you can then interact with them. And it's a much more fully realized interaction than either the camp or Awakenings had. And the main reason is because we know where the space is. The spaces are more inherently interesting. And as a result, we can actually, you know, have them kind of, you know, if you walk up and Isabella's ordering a drink, then it becomes, oh, okay, it becomes a character-building element and a place where, you know, they can kind of feel like they're at home and in a place of safety. And then you can have your discussions and talk to them and banter with them and so on.
Okay, and how important will the interaction with your companions be? Will it affect the world, or is it just the interaction between this NPC and you?
No, it'll definitely affect some pretty significant elements of the way the story plays out. One thing we've put a lot of effort in is having not just, I guess, the friendship system in Origins, where it was kind of like they liked you or they didn't like you, was good in that, you know, there was kind of like, okay, it's not morality, it's like, okay, how do they feel about the things I'm doing? For Dragon Age 2, we've expanded on that and put in the concept of rivalry, where there's no bad situation here. They may be friends with you, they may disagree with you, but they're disagreeing with you because, you know, you're kind of being consistent and showing them, you know, your ways might not be entirely right. Maybe you're not making the right decisions. And it's possible to kind of have their characters interact around the idea of being at odds with one another. Like, you know, you see it in almost every movie where, like, it's like, you know, Inigo Montoya and Wesley, right? It's like, I could never kill you. You're an artist, right? That kind of vibe. And the end result then is that, you know, we've gotten rid of a lot of things that felt kind of gamey to me. Like, here's a gift. Yeah, you like me more. And now when you give them gifts, it's more of a story element and less of a, here's wine, drink it, you like me. So I'm very happy with kind of how that's turned out, in the sense that they can oppose you, but still kind of, you know, it's a discussion now, not just, screw you, I'm out.
That sounds great, actually. And will it be possible to have intriguing romances between your companions?
Between them. There are some elements of it. It's not a huge part of the game. It's not like it's constantly playing through, but they certainly, especially Isabella, certainly do flirt.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
And are there more options for hetero and homosexual romance in Dragon Age 2 than it was in Dragon Age 1?
I can't give you numbers, I'm sorry. But I can say it's still there, and there's all kinds of different relationships you can have. So we certainly haven't taken any steps backwards. How about that? There's my safe answer.
Will there be more scenes, love scenes, between the characters than one?
I think you'll see some intriguing stuff later in the game.
Oh, that's good.
I don't want to spoil that too much.
Another question is, will the DLCs, which may be coming for Dragon Age 2, will they be offered by NPCs?
No, that's not currently our plan. Yeah, that was an interesting experiment with Origins. One that I think, you know, it had some interesting elements, but I think, generally speaking, what we've learned coming out of the Origins experience is people are looking for kind of a richer content and content that kind of integrates a little more seamlessly into the game. So, you know, it's arguable whether, you know, that was convenient or immersion breaking. And I think, you know, for the most part, we're looking at, you know, keeping it, you know, focused on the marketplace, being able to go and, you know, pick it up from Xbox or download it from the BioWare site, same way we have now. So you can kind of add it into your game as you prefer. And then once it's in, well, then it, ultimately, we want to expand on Hawk's adventures, kind of the things he's done in the course of that time. And I think, honestly, we have this amazing opportunity because we're covering, you know, this decade-long period of history. But as you've already seen, we don't cover every single moment of it. We're really focused on the most interesting parts. Well, who's to say there weren't some interesting bits that we can kind of add into? So for me, being able to dive in with my Hawk, my character, and kind of experience this event that, you know, hopefully comes with some really cool loot, then, you know, that just adds another element to kind of my adventure and integrates really cleanly with the game.
Okay, that sounds good. And how's the approximate percentage of fights in Dragon Age 2 compared to the dialogue lines or the conversations?
I'd say it's about on par with where Origins was at. There might be a little bit more fighting, but in general, I mean, what we try to do is strike a nice cadence. One of the central principles, I think, of good game design is understanding that there's a flow. You know, there comes a point where you get kind of tired from fighting. You're like, whew, man, that was a tough one. And it's right then that you want kind of the reward for that, which is someone revealing a new plot point or you know, a funny joke or something to kind of, like, give you that little bit of a mental break and to have that peaks and troughs in terms of, like, tension of combat, tension of storytelling, and to keep the player kind of moving seamlessly between them. So one thing we've tried to do, and I think it's pretty evident in the opening, is some smoother transitioning between the two. So you feel like, oh, story fighting. And it's not, our goal is to never make it jarring, but to make it so it's like almost a reward for beating a tough combat, or maybe a combat is in some ways a reward for the way you've interacted with people.
Okay. And a very simple question is, will there be puzzles in Dragon Age 2?
Some, but we've never put a huge focus on puzzles. I think there's, if we were going to do, you know, a more puzzle heavy thing, there are actually some changes we need to make to the engine to really attach the way the lighting is handling in terms of, like, sliding blocks. So I think, you know, while I wouldn't rule it out for the future, there's some changes I'd want to make almost on a fundamental level on some of the way the lighting is handled and the way things are interacted with before I got heavily into puzzles. To me, the ideal puzzle design is one that's a little bit off the beaten path, but has some nice, cool reward after it, so it becomes kind of an optional challenge. And so, you know, until we can do that right, our focus would always be to kind of, you know, go, okay, well, we're not going to do a ton of those because they're not going to be as good as they could be. So I'd rather do stuff right and then do it later.
I think, yes, that's all my questions.
Great.
That's
cool.
Those are fun.
Yeah. And are you having fun?
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Good.
It's great playing the game.
Good. That's
great.
Yes. Well, good. Yeah, it's a fun trip. A little bit cold, perhaps. Yeah.